Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Chassidus was mechadish a concept of hiskashrus l'tzadikim. And this is not the simplistic dveikus b'talmidei chachomim es Hashem alikecho tiro l'rabis talmidei chachomim that one needs to be misabeg ba'afar ragli talmidei chachomim and be mekusher with a rov, the Talmud Chochim, who guides the person halachically and basically hashkafically, because that always existed in Am Yisrael. And it goes without saying that Chas V'Sholem is kashrus l'tzadikim, is not Chas V'Sholem the way Goyim have a Yoshke, and Tzoyi Chas V'Sholem, a trinity between the person and Hashem. As the Meshech Chochma says, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's Mokim Kvura is unknown, his burial place is unknown, is so that he shouldn't be enshrined as a Avodah Zarah, as a Emtzoi. And in as much as his Kashrus L'Tzadikim is not the simple Dveikus B'Talmidei Chachamim, likewise, the Tzadik of the Hasidic world is not a person that keeps every single halach in Shulchan Aruch and doesn't waste a second and learns and does Torah mitzvahs every free second. Up till Chassidus, that would be considered a great tzaddik. Forget about if his intent was not purely for Hashem, rather his learning was to be special and to be choshev and to occupy a place, a prominent place in society and in the rabbinic world, which if his intent was shaloi l'shmo, l'shem kovid, l'shem gaiva, that was possible even in nigla. And it's a tremendous madrega to purify oneself from intent, from kardim lachperba, from using Torah as a means to acquire status or parnasa or the likes. But even if a person learned in absolute pure intent for Hashem and never succumbed to the battle of temptation or laziness and continuously serves Hashem with utmost devotion, with utmost strain, amelus, and with joy and with love, but the battle is raging within, he's still not the tzaddik of Chassidus. And he's still not the tzaddik of his kashrus, the tzaddikim. The Chassidic concept of a tzaddik is the last thesis in the first Perek in Bava Basra, that the Gemara says that there were those tzaddikim that the Yetzahara never ruled upon them. And Tesis says, but the whole purpose of life is to fight the Yetzahara. So Tesis says they battled so hard till the Yetzahara was destroyed. And we'll see in a second what it means that the Yetzahara was completely destroyed. And once we understand conceptually what this type of tzaddik is, we'll be hard-pressed to assume that it's so easy to find such tzaddikim. And we might arrive at a conclusion that although that level of tzaddikim is rare, we might still go to tzaddikim that are the level of prior to Chassidus. So let's understand like this. The Erechaim HaKadosh says that Adam HaRishon before the Chait didn't consume physical food. He was living on the Moitze Pi Hashem Yichye HaAdam. Like the Ramban sort of says in Parashas B'Shalach, he brings from Chazal that the man was the Ziv HaShchina, and miraculously the shine of the Shchina solidified into something that could be consumed physically. But prior to that, prior to the Chait, Adam HaRishon was completely surviving and sustained by the light of Hashem, the way it's going to be, by Tchiyas HaMesim, Ein Bo Lo Yachile V'Lo Yishtiye, the shine of the Shechina, will allow them to live. And the Ramban says, Hayoyim loisim tzau ba'asodah. Today Shabbos, you won't find man, but la'asid lovoi, forever and ever will be sustained by the man, because the man, says the Ramban, is the ziva shchina. And therefore there was no physical consumption of food. All the arguments, what the achila, what the eating was by the chait of Adam Arishan, is Kabbalistically deep in Yanim. But suffice it to say that the Rechaim HaKadosh says it wasn't physical food. And the Tani explains in Perik Choftes that a tzaddik, that all taivis of his body are nullified. All physical urges are gone. Literally, he's transformed into an angelic, a malach. A person has no bodily urges. He has no urges of pride. He has no sensation of pride. All human connections, my son versus somebody else's son, cease to exist. He transcended all human emotion and all human bodily urges, to the point where we ourselves have seen such tzaddikim who were able to survive on no food at all. A Belzerov, a Barle, a Rimtze, they could fast forever. A Baba Sali, they consumed foods as a Kabbalistic idea of being Milan at Tzitzis every once in a while, or forced food down their body on Shabbos because of the mitzvah. But they weren't being sustained by the calorie intake that they took it. And the Tani's Loshen is, Ki hu atzmai einoi rak nefesh ho elikis levav. The tzaddik is not a nefesh bahami anymore. He doesn't have the animalistic soul anymore, or the nefesh achiyuni. He's been transformed that he's only a nefesh elikis. And he levado mechaye gufa yubisoroi. The nefesh elikis is giving sustenance to the body, and the body is only besar odom. It's like a side, it's like a shell, but it's not anymore the physical body being sustained by physical calories. He's been transformed literally to a situation where the nefesh eloiki is mechayehim. And his lashon ki hi levado mechaye gufa yubisoro shehara shehoyo benefesh achiyunis. So by a Beinoni, there's a body with a Nefesh HaBahami, and physical food is giving it sustenance. And the Nefesh HaLikis is trying to win over the Nefesh HaBahami and not allow the Nefesh HaBahami to take over the Machshava Dibur Umaisa. And the Tzaddik says to Tanya, in Perik Yud, the entire Ra, the entire physicality, is disgusting by the Tzaddik, because anything that blocks Hashem, anything that makes you experience Bria, creation, and not the Creator, anything that blocks Hashem, which is all Sitra Achra, the other side, that the side that has Astor, the side that experiences itself as a blockage and doesn't experience Hashem's the permeation of everything, is disgusting by the tzaddik, and he wants no part in it. He just wants neshama, that's chilik l'kai. Again, chilik l'kai means that it feels itself continuously plugged in and connected to Hashem. And tzaddikim are called b'nei aliyah. Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, I've seen b'nei aliyah, but they're very few. So there's two explanations to the word ben aliyah. Either that they are maila everything and make everything into kedusha, all the energy of physicality, they're maila into kedusha. But more than that, he says, there's no self, not even a spiritual self. They're not even serving Hashem to attach themselves forever and ever to Hashem, to quench the thirst of their soul to bond with Hashem. Rather, it's only l'tzarech aliyah, only for Hashem to be megala Hashem's plan of his Rotzoin, to have a dir b'tachteinim, and be mamlech Hashem, and be megal kvoid malchusoi. That's the only reason why they're serving Hashem. And they were so elevated that it was a fascinating concept in Hasidic Svarim of being maile machshavis, elevating an impure thought, a thought of lust, and to elevate it and take the thought of bonding with something not pure, to elevate that it should be a muscle for higher things and bonding with Hashem, Yichud, Kudsha Brichu, Shchinta, and the likes. So the Tani says, only by a tzaddik who it's impossible for him at this point to have such a physical urge and such a physical thought on his own, because he's beyond that. So for him, if suddenly there was a flash of a thought like that, obviously it's somebody else's thought that's being flashed to him, and there was some type of concept of haloyes ha-machshavas. But of course the Tani says a benini that has these urges naturally has no concept of haloyes ha-machshavas. This haloyes ha-machshavas was only an idea if there could exist and you could develop tzaddikim like a Belzerov and like a Rivnitzer and those type of tzaddikim, then there's a concept of a tzaddik. If there's a concept of a tzaddik, there's a skashrus to that tzaddik. We'll see in a second what a skashrus is. And it could be an idea of being Milan the Tzitzis. And in Perik Beis, the Tani explains that the bond with Hashem has a hierarchy. There's levels, and there's neshamas. Every door is one complete entity, and it's one complete koimishleim, or one complete body, and the tzaddik is the roish hador. And the way how a neshama elevates itself is by bonding with the neshamas a little above that, and those neshamas bond a little higher and higher, till you're bonding with the highest neshama of that door, and that makes a complete circuit, and that makes you attached to the Shechinah HaKadosh and to the Eibishter. It's like the Ramchal explains, the Gemara says, the Dal Minim Shebeluluv, the four species are the Tzaddik, the Rosh, and in between, all different parts of Judaism bonding together and elevating each other. It's not that you worship the tzaddik chas v'shalom, but the tzaddikim bond, as all the neshamas have it, a certain level where they're all part of one puzzle, and therefore you're bonding with that puzzle. The chiddush of Chassidus was, as the Tani explains in the Igeres HaKodesh Simcha of Zayin, that the bond with the tzaddik does have a component of having a tremendous love for that tzaddik. Ahava rabo, because he says, ki amshochas kol ruchni is ein le'ele alidei ahava rabo, and you have a tremendous love for the purity and the godliness that's permeating the tzaddik, sort of, as the Tzemach Tzedek means the Zohar HaKadosh, Ebshim Michoi said about himself, Yeroh kol zchurchas p'nei oden Hashem, Dor Ashbi, that Reb Shimon Yechai was so self-effaced, he was so bottled, that Hashem's light shone right through him. He was just a conduit for godliness. He himself was so nullified that the only thing he expressed was how bottled he is and how nullified he is to Hashem. So when you were connected to Reb Shimon Yechai, you were like going to be Eiler Regal and experiencing godliness, because that's all Reb Shimon Yechai stood for. He himself was completely subsumed and nullified to Hashem. So when you love that tremendous kedusha and godliness of the tzaddik, that was a concept of iskashrus l'tzaddikim. And it's a very dangerous territory. You have to be able to delineate and understand how that differs from chas v'shalom, a trinity or anything like that, zol leib shtar piten. And the mele, the Tanya takes that even to a further greater Hasidic stretch, that the Zohar HaKadosh says that a tzaddik that leaves this world is his presence is in this in all the worlds more than in his lifetime. And he explains that when he was bound and locked and trapped in a physical body, at the end of the day, there's still a limit because it's not permeating all the worlds. But when he breaks out of the physical shell, the physical body, the kedusha and that shone forth from the tzaddik is now permeating all the worlds, as he explains at length. And therefore, keeping that tremendous bond with the tzaddik posthumously after he's gone already is still a legitimate thing. You could continue loving the neshama of that tzaddik and continuing have a bond with that tzaddik, which is very, very Hasidish, a huge Chiddush in Breslev, and other Hasidus, and that became a normal thing to really have a Rebbe that's not alive anymore, and completely have a bond with him after he's not here anymore. Like it says by Elisha, V'yeh Pishnayim Beruchoy, the Ruach of the Tzaddik could be everywhere. The Nefesh could hover around the grave, but the Ruach component could now spread everywhere. You find the Chazal, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, literally came home to his house and was Meitzi his family with Kiddush every Friday night. And it's a big Seid and Kabbalah that you could put on. Chalukah de Rabbonon, like a ghost-like type of levush, of of something sort of physical, and his family was able to perceive him and see him. And although dead people are potter from mitzvahs, but it's a clear gemara that he was able to be meitzi them with kiddush, and they saw him. So these ideas exist in Chazal, and definitely in Sifrei Kabbalah and Kisrei Arizal for sure. And Arizal writes that tzaddikim are so pure that even after their nifta, they enter Gehenim, and it forces Gehenim to cool off because no klipas and no tumah could attach to the purity of the tzaddik, and the tzaddik goes in his misakin neshamis in Gehenim, the Ari HaKadosh says. And famously, the Tanya Negeres, Simcha Vav Negeres HaKadosh, says that as long as the tzaddik is not a Novi Mamish, he shouldn't be the one that you approach for ideas, for your business, and guidance in any physical inyanim. The tzaddik is above that. And he wasn't agreeable to give guidance in financial affairs. If he did later on, is a different discussion.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.